Translation: being the absolute personality of Godhead, he is present in everyone's heart. He is equally kind to everyone, and he is free from the false ego of differentiation. Therefore, whatever he does is free from material inebriety. He is equibalanced. Purport by Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because he is absolute, there is nothing different from him. He is Kevala. There is nothing except himself. Everything and everyone is the manifestation of his energy, and thus he is present everywhere by his energy, being non-different from it. The sun is identical with every inch of the sun rays and every molecular particle of the rays. Similarly, the Lord is distributed by his different energies. He is Paramatma, or the Supersoul, present in everyone as the supreme guidance. And therefore, he is already the chariot driver and counsel of all living beings. When he therefore exhibits himself as a chariot driver of Arjuna, there is no change in his exalted position. It is the power of devotional service only that demonstrates him as the chariot driver or the messenger. Since he has nothing to do with the material conception of life, because he is absolute spiritual identity, there is for him no superior or inferior action. Being the absolute personality of Godhead, he has no false ego, and so he does not identify himself with anything different from him. The material conception of ego is equibalanced in him. He does not feel, therefore, inferior by becoming the chariot driver of his pure devotee. It is the glory of the pure devotee that only he can bring about service from the affectionate Lord. And the purport: Om Gyanam Tananda Syagyanam Gyanam Slakaya Chakshur Mitam Nitasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namam Vishnu Badaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutare Simati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaudavani Vacharine Nirvishesha Shandavari Pasarizatharine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation again. Being the absolute personality of Godhead, he is present in everyone's heart. He is equally kind to everyone, and he is free from the false ego of differentiation. Therefore, whatever he does is free from material inebriety. He is equibalanced. So there's knowledge of Krishna's attributes, qualities, is given here by Bhishma Dev. As he's passing away, Bhishma Dev is the one of the greatest persons there on the planet, descendant of Bharat. He was a general in the army. He took the terrible vow of brahmachari as a prince or a king to support his father's personal desires. Very powerful, very learned. We know him as one Mahajan. So very great. And now the battle is finished, and he's leaving his body. And he's laying on a bed of arrows. He thought it was befitting, as such a great warrior, so they shot arrows into the ground and made a bed for him. He laid on top of them, which is a Kshatriya spirit. And there he was waiting till, because he had a benediction from his father, because he he gave up the position of the being the emperor for her. We know the reason why, for to fulfill his father's desire. And so all the great personalities were there, all the rishis came, all the sages were there, and the Pandavas have come, all just nicely in their chariots, golden chariots. But Krishna's there with Arjuna, very nice scene. And it's a very sad scene because Bhishma Dev, everyone loves Bhishma Dev, he's very a great, honest person. And he's given these great instructions in this to everyone there. And when the Pandavas come, then Bhishma's Dev, he's very sad, they're sad, they're crying. And he's glorifying the Pandavas. He said, you know, you suffered so much. He said, it shouldn't have happened. Yudhisthira is the son of Dhammaraj. He said, your Pandavas are so pious, but you had to suffer so much tribulation throughout your life. It's not it's not karma, in other words. He said, it shouldn't have happened to you. Therefore, I can only say it's just due to the time and ultimately, it must be Krishna's desire that it happened like this. Just like when Draupadi, when she was being insulted, and I forget the actual question, but she went to ask everyone the question: Can the Pandavas give me away? They've lost me. They've lost everything. Can they give me away now? At that time, and she was asking everyone, and no one could reply. And she went to Bhishma. So Bhishma's a Mahajan, right? Whenever there's a doubt, you go to the Mahajan. What did Bhishma say? The ways of morality are very difficult to understand. She said, thanks a lot. Didn't help. But Bhishma Dev knew, according to I think Vishnu Chakravarti saying, Bhishma Dev knew that what happened to Draupadi, she was dragged by the hair. Not possible. Not possible. She's a very, very close friend of Krishna. And it's not possible why Krishna's here that this could happen. So therefore, it must be Krishna's arrangement. So this is Krishna's plan. I can't understand. I don't know his plan. Nobody knows his plan. That was, he explained, even the greatest philosophers, they cannot understand the plans of Krishna. Nobody knows, except some sages. He knew, who had personal experience of Krishna. Even then, they can't know him in full, because Krishna can only actually be known by direct experience. A spiritual life, spirituality, is only understood by direct experience. But we're talking about it, about him, so that we'll know how to act, how to behave, what mentality, so we're in the proper position. In other words, we have the adhikar to receive the grace of the Lord when he reveals himself. Right now, first revelation is through the name. When one chants the name of Krishna, because it's not different from Krishna, then you can feel his presence sometimes. I mean, you feel ecstasy. If you're Bhava, that's the presence of, you're actually experiencing it. The holy name is not different from Krishna to whatever degree you experience it. Then Nam Rupa, we have the deity form of the Lord. So we have that. We have the name. We have the form of the Lord. At least we have the deity. Then Prabhupada said, if you worship the deity nicely, then Krishna will talk to you. Krishna will reveal himself. So Krishna is always there. He's always not different from his holy name, and he's not different from the deity. He's not different from the service. But sometimes we get a little revelation. So that's Krishna's mercy. So we have to know about this. Then there's the Naam Rup Guna, the qualities of Krishna, the attributes of Krishna. So that's what we're hearing here. Bhishma Deva is given these attributes of Krishna, his qualities, so we can understand Krishna better. We have to try to understand Krishna's his actual position, and then if we're sincerely endeavoring, then Krishna will reveal his attributes, his qualities, and then we can understand his pastime. We can hear about the pastimes. We can actually perceive the pastimes. So here he's given some very esoteric information in this cup few shlokas, how he is he's glorifying the Pandavas. Krishna's your friend, your counselor. you don't actually know who he is, because you're so familiar with him that you don't actually appreciate his supreme personality. Just like when when Krishna showed Arjuna his universal form, then Arjuna was shocked that this is who actually Krishna is. So we won't be in a state of shock. His devotees, Krishna covers them with yoga maya, so he can deal normally with them, have love in exchange with them. Otherwise, if that understanding that he is your supreme, almighty, powerful Lord, then it's not much fun for Krishna. So he removes that knowledge of himself. He covers that, and then they have their own relationship according to. So Bhishma Deva has a relationship of chivalry, right? When Krishna was rushing to kill him, Krishna said he wouldn't take up any weapons. But Bhishma Dev said, tomorrow I'll put Arjuna in such trouble. either I kill him or Krishna will have to break his promise. And he did. And then Arjuna was really going to get it. So then Krishna picked up a wheel, which wasn't really a weapon, but it wasn't his chakra. He picked up the chariot wheel and charged. And Bhishma was so happy. He's in ecstasy. Right? Someone coming to kill you, and he's in complete ecstasy. Look at Krishna. He's like he rushed at him like a lion to kill an elephant. Look, he's so beautiful. Krishna's so beautiful. He's running, and his hair is blowing, and he dropped his charger. He didn't even bother to pick it up. And he has spots of blood. Krishna has spots of blood because Bhishma was shooting him with arrows. It looked like decoration, very beautiful. We put tilaks on Krishna. And so he's just appreciating that. My Lord has come to kill me. It's in ecstasy. That's his bow. Bhishma did. So that's a kind of devotee he was. So he's qualified as the Mahajan. But he is given some esoteric. How this person who you think is your cousin, he's actually the super soul in everyone's heart. And he's kind to everyone. Because he has nothing to do with the material world. He only operates on the spiritual platform. So he comes in the heart, because we're also spiritual, but we're in the material world. So he also comes with us as a super soul. He's kind to everyone, but he's not so merciful. He's kind. He's not merciful, because whatever you want to do, he'll give you the intelligence to do it, right? Even you want to do something to take you away from Krishna consciousness, he supplies the intelligence to do that. He may give a signal. I shouldn't be doing that. That's Krishna. That's a super. I shouldn't be doing that. But anyway, you're going to do it anyway. It'll be a good result for me. I'll be happy. So then you go on. So then Krishna, okay. If you want to do it, this is how to do it. So he's supplying intelligence. So it's his intelligence. So in that sense, he's not merciful. He's more of a witness, right? As a judge. And he's taking everything down. But when you turn to him, then he'll give all assistance. But of course, when there's some affection for Krishna, then it's Krishna that takes over from the super soul. or the deity form also has the same function. When there's some bhava there, then Krishna takes over, because that's what Krishna's interested in. Krishna's business is just enjoying. So he's just interested in bhava of the devotee. So if there's no bhava, then he's not interested. So then he spans as a super soul to take care of us while we're here. So there's not much of an intimate relationship there. He's just the guide and the witness kind of thing. So that's how Krishna expands while we're in the material world. But when there's some affection there for Krishna, then now he's in, hey, what's going on? Let's go and have a look down there. Then he takes over from the super soul. Same person, but then the job of the super soul as a witness and a guide is actually finished. Once one takes the Krishna consciousness seriously, because you've got to be serious to have some affection for Krishna, to establish a relationship with Krishna. So then Krishna, then he's interested. But he's actually different he's kind to everyone, because he has nothing to gain or lose. He's free from the false ego of differentiation. He has no false ego. Krishna has no false ego. So whatever he does is free from material inebriety. There's no fault. Whatever he does is all good. He's not... the false ego, it's Krishna's false ego, what we're covered by. First there is the avidya. He covers us with a special coating of forgetfulness. First thing, he takes away the forgetfulness. If we want to act in a way which is considered rasa-bhasa or not congenial with the spiritual world, we want to enjoy separately or have an idea to, whatever the reason, it's not. Then Krishna says, okay, if you want to do that, but you can't do it here. Then he creates a material world through the Vishnus, etc. You go there. It creates a playground for us. And then you can try. And when you bang your head on the wall long enough, and you turn around and say, Krishna, God help me, then I'll come take you back in. But if you want to do it, then you can go. So that, then the first coating is the false ego. After that, it takes away remembrance. Because if you remember Krishna, then it's no fun, right? The material world is no fun. We want to be recognized in the material world. Well, everyone wants to be trying to be the center. Everyone's trying to be on top, right? Sports, politics, music, and all those things. Everyone wants to be on top. Students don't want to be. Because when you're on top, that's the night everyone's looking at you. Close to God. Quite close. I mean, He's worship. He's Krishna's worship. So if you're worship, that's like a, you know, as close as you can get. As but the problem is everyone wants the same spot. So there's no harmony in the material world. Everyone's looking for that same position. So everyone's trying to achieve it, but the material energy is just whipping us. Get back. Material four things that are going on in this world is eating, sleeping, enjoying, and defending. That's the material. That's all everyone is doing. One of the four things. But it's difficult just to do that. It's a struggle to meet those needs. Just the three needs, the basic needs of defense, eating, sleeping, and defending. The real business is to enjoy it, right? But we're so preoccupied with the ferocious clashes in the material world that we don't have time. I mean, a little bit in the day. When you come home at night, there's a little bit extra time for you. Otherwise, you worked all day for that. But the real business is to enjoy. So this is the Maya illusion. There's no the soul can't enjoy matter. The soul actually doesn't touch matter. The touching or the experience of matter is illusory. So there's some relief, there's some happiness, but you can't maintain it. It goes away again. So when you wake up in the morning, it's the same thing. However successful you are, it's the same thing. So when you've got the dream, you've got the right partner, you got the good looks, you got the money, you got the car, you got the bungalow, you've done it. But still, there's something else, right? No one says that's it, and they don't do anything. Every day they wake up, they got to do something else. It doesn't work, you know. Even if you make it materially, you get all those things, you're still working. You wake up and you're going through the day trying to achieve something else. So this is called Maya. But for Krishna, it's real. He is the controller. He is the enjoyer. Krishna is his body. That's the difference. We're not the body. We think we're the body. We're not the controller. We think we can control. And we're not the enjoyers. We think we'd enjoy it. Little relief, little taste of happiness. But Krishna is his body. Krishna is the controller and he is the enjoyer. So for him, there's no problem. So if all those things were taken care of, like your old age, disease, death, hunger, thirst, there was nothing there. If you achieve that, say you achieve that, liberation, what would you do? No. Question. What would you do? You don't have to do anything, right? The motivation that we act is to get out of trouble. So we won't get hungry, we won't get cold, we won't get hot, we have to stay one step ahead of these clashes. So that's the main motivation, because the object is to enjoy, to be happy. But you can't when you're hungry, when there's a threat, when you're distressed, you can't. Krishna says, if there's no peace, there's no question of happiness. Until there's peace. So those two things: the defense is peace, and the control is peace, and then the other part, the real part, is to enjoy. But so what do you do when you achieve? If you actually achieve our goal of getting on top of everything, we don't have to worry about these things anymore. Then what will we do? Huh? Like, what would you do? What would you look for? Huh? No, forget Krishna. He's covered you. Yeah, thank you. You want to enjoy it. That's Krishna. He has nothing to do, right? They don't bother him. Old age, disease, death don't bother him. Time doesn't bother him. It's his energy. So his only business is now to enjoy. That's Krishna. But he doesn't. He doesn't enjoy. He doesn't enjoy in the material energy. He has much superior enjoyment in the spiritual energy. Why would he enjoy in this inferior peanuts enjoyment? He wouldn't do that. So therefore, he brings his associates with him. And so he's going to associate. He's going to get enjoyment, the real enjoyment. That means with spirit. That means with the soul, with us, the actual person. Not the bodies, isn't it? That's the material energy. That's under his control, and it's inferior energy. So he doesn't take pleasure there. So, but he comes here and he accepts a human form, and he does all the things. He does. He grows old. He's naughty. He gets into trouble. He cries. He's afraid of his mother. He gets married. He has some immoral pastimes, and he does everything. Right? So therefore, no one can understand Krishna. He's very mysterious. Why does he do it? He has no need. He has no need. We have a need. We have a lacking. He has no lacking. So therefore, we're forced to act. But he has not. He has no need, so he's not forced to do anything. So therefore, his business is just enjoying. That's Krishna. Great. Jai Sri Krishna. And he knows how to enjoy. He's the best enjoyer. But what he likes to enjoy, like here, Radha Gokula Nandan. But if he wants another kind of enjoyment, or devotees want another kind of relationship, then he'd expand into Mathurinath or Dwarkadish or Ram or Vaikunthapati. Then he can enjoy different rasas there. So Krishna's not, he's completely unaffected by this, by the what's going on in the material world, because it's all him. He's expanded as the material world. He's expanded as he's set the gears. He's put it into motion. All the rules. He's set all the rules. Also, he's made all the rules. Then he has 34 crores or 33 million demigods to look after it, to keep it churning. So when he comes in, he's not obliged by anything. So he just comes in to have a good time. And he has the two businesses of killing the demons, because they harass the devotees, and to give his main reason is to give pleasure to his devotees, or to relieve their separation, the pure devotees, to relieve their burning separation from him. He comes for their benefit. They're the two things he says that he does. But he has hundreds of, as we heard yesterday, Krishna accomplishes hundreds of things by one act, according to the different relationships of his devotees. So when he acts, Prabhupada's saying, when he acts here as a chariot driver, that's a job of a sudra, not a job of a kshatriya. So, but he's doing that, and he's supposed to be a kshatriya. It's not really clear. People are not really clear of his guna karma. They're not really clear what his position is, because was he born in Mathura, a son of Vasudeva or Devaki, or was it Nanda Baba? And very mysterious. No one can understand Krishna. Nobody knows when. Yeah? There's a sloka in Bhagavatam. It's the www.h. When, where, why, and how Krishna will appear. Nobody knows. So this is what Bhishma is saying. You know who this person is. You think he's your cousin. You think he's a chariot driver. You think he's your friend, your cousin. This is who he is. He's that same super soul, that same creator who's manifested out. Everything is him. Everything is coming from even you. You're a part of him. So when he acts in the material world, there's no superior action or inferior action. He's completely aloof to it. It's the same thing for him. So, but out of, Prabhupada mentions here that out of love, out of affection, He said, it is the glory of the pure devotee that only he can bring about service from the affectionate Lord. He meant the Lord will become subordinate to his devotee, which is one of his wonderful qualities. He becomes subordinate to the love of his devotees, controlled by the love of his devotee. So he'll do that. But what he's doing, he's having a loving exchange with his devotee. We think, in other words, he's taking a low-class position. And he's driving the chariot, but what he's doing is having a loving exchange with his devotee. And when he's the king, he's having loving exchanges with his devotees. And when he's killing the demons, or the Vishnu portion comes and kills the demons, he's having a loving exchange with his devotees to make his devotees unhappy. They're afraid of the demons, so Krishna's come to remove their fear. So everything he does is enjoying a loving relationship with his devotees. He doesn't do anything else. The killing of the demons or the unwanted kings is just to make the world peaceful for his devotees. Otherwise, so he has no. So it's very difficult to understand because he has no need. He doesn't have a lacking like us. But because we have a lacking, we're conditioned like this, then we always portray everyone else how we would. If I was in that position, what would I do? But you can't. You can't put Krishna in a box. he's completely unaffected by these things. In fact, they're servants of him. They work according to his desire. When we forget his position and forget our relationship with him, then we try to take that position. We try to be the controller and enjoy it. And that's the cause of all of our problems, the cause of our stay in the material world. As soon as you try to, as soon as you interact with the material world, there's a reaction. That's the thing. And it's Devi's, Maya's job to bewilder us. That's a thankless task, although she's a Vaishnavi. It's a thankless task to absorb our attention. That's her, and she's expert. She's been doing it since the beginning of creation. So unless we understand what's actually going on, we'll never be able to break free from this illusion. And turn back to Krishna. So, Bhishma Dev's, this is Krishna. He's free. We're not. We're trying to imitate Krishna. We're trying to take his position. And therefore we get into more trouble. We have to take another birth. As Prahlad Maharaj says, two things. One is that he said your problems begin in life at the moment you endeavor for happiness. Then your problem begins. Because to achieve your happiness, to achieve your goal, there's a separation, right? There's time and there's space. We want to do anything. We have to pass through time and space. And time and space is filled with birth, old age, disease, death. He called this Adiatme Gadi Devi Gadi Baltic. So as soon as you endeavor for something materially, then you have this onslaught of the modes of nature. So he says that as soon as you endeavor for material happiness, then your troubles begin. And he said everyone is making these grand plans for happiness, which will never be. Hare Krishna. But this is a world of Maya. She's got everyone going for it. Get this and you'll be happy. Get this situation, you'll be happy. Everyone's believing it, and we're teaching it, right, in the universities. So Bhishma's given a very esoteric knowledge in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's what it's for. The Bhagavatam is to unravel the mystery of life, and expose the material energy for what it is. Otherwise, if we don't know what it is, if you don't have a good understanding, you can't get love of God. Because if you don't understand what Maya is, you won't be able to give her up. You won't be able to say no if you don't understand what how she works. Then you won't be able to say no. And then you don't get love of Krishna. If you still have some love for Maya, material world. So therefore it's explained in more or less in 9 cantos. Here's a lot of, you know, devotion also in these cantos. Krishna's dealing with, but he's given us a philosophy of the reality of life, the material world, so that we can come to our senses and realize the futility of the material endeavor for happiness and peace, for peace and happiness the other way around, because it's a struggle, as we know. That's why we're all here. And trying to make a solution to these problems. So we come to the right place, because Bhagavatam is here, Krishna is here, Ram is here, Gaunitai is here. So if we take the advice of the Mahajans and the pure devotees, the devotees of the Mahajans, follow their instructions, how they interpret these instructions, and how we should see these instructions and apply these instructions, then that is our perfection. So as soon as we turn to Krishna, then that's perfection. Then you have to come, we have to become perfect, more perfect, and more perfect, go to the spiritual world. But that's, as soon as you turn to Krishna, there's only one problem in the material world, that is, one thing lacking, Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakura. The one thing lacking, that's Krishna consciousness. That's all that's lacking. But it's Krishna consciousness is immediate. We can immediately turn to Krishna, and all your troubles have gone if you don't look back. As soon as you accept Krishna as a Supreme Personality of God, you follow him, then that's the liberation. Then you're not getting any more karma, you see. So that's the imperceptible liberation Prabhupada calls. But as soon as you turn back to Maya, then you're back in the world of karma. So it doesn't matter on your background. We can't blame that, the background, where we came from, that it's difficult for me because of this, because of that. No, it's difficult for us because we don't stay fixed on Krishna. We let Maya attract us, and then we turn back to Maya to confront Maya, to try to we feel a threat from her, or we feel to want to enjoy her, one or the other. So they're the only two things that are going on in the material world. So if you can tolerate them, just ignore them, tolerate them first, then that's it. You don't have any more problem. Everything's taken care of. No matter what background you come from, you don't need to go through a process of purification. You're chanting Hare Krishna. It's a package. Krishna is a package. His name is a package. You don't have to endeavor separately for controlling the senses. It's controlling the mind, developing these qualities, right? Which all the good Vaishnava qualities. You don't have to do that. They're helpful. But if you're focused on Krishna, then automatically you're insulated from Maya. So the Chaitanya is not considering qualification, because no one has adhikara in Kali Yuga. So it's just simply take this holy name of Krishna, and everything is there. But don't stop. Right? Chant the name, you hear about Krishna, remember Krishna, talk about Krishna, serve Krishna, remember Krishna. Surrender to Krishna, just Krishna, Krishna. Then he's taking care of, he's purifying all the other. You don't have to worry about that. But often we're caught up in the process. How can I become pure? Because then I can't chant because my mind is giving me so much trouble. So therefore, let me control the mind, and then I'll be peacefully chanting Hare Krishna. Then Prabhupada said it won't happen. Don't think you're going to control your senses and you'll be peaceful, and you'll be peacefully chanting. It won't happen. No, the cure is in Krishna. The cure is in the holy name. It's a big package. That's all you have to do. You don't worry about anything else. So, because Krishna's everything, and he has, and he is the reason we exist is Krishna's pleasure. So the basic facts we have to know: we're not the enjoyer; it's Krishna's enjoyer. We should assist him in his enjoyment. So when you're doing that, then that's perfect. You're acting perfectly. Then you're insulated from Maya. There's no karma anymore. But as soon as you turn back, you're in the material field again. So this is the cure, Mahaushadi, the great medicine. This holy name of Krishna will cure all the diseases. But we just have to apply ourselves to the process, and don't leave it. Then that's it. You're liberated, and you go back to God at the end of life if you can do that. So why would we break it? Because something interesting in Maya, right? Something else is more interesting. Then we go there. So we break that and go somewhere, something else. After 10, there's something very important that's come up. But of course, health is a big issue. But that's the problem. We go back, we think there's something, we're giving attention to Maya, then she's won. Then you're back in the Maya field again. So we have to know perfectly well about, we have to understand the philosophy what is our relationship with Krishna, what is Krishna, what is the living entity, what is the material world, and what is the interaction between both, what is our interaction with the material world, what is our interaction with Krishna. We have to know these things. And you'll know them in the 18 months or a couple of years, you know everything, knowledge is, it's all explained there. Then it's a question of applying it, which is the difficult part. But we don't have to keep on asking the questions because the answer is already there. You just focus on devotion to Krishna. That's it. So Krishna, Bhishma's explaining some of the attributes or the qualities of Krishna. We want to understand his qualities. So both sides, how he is completely free from the, and we also have the same quality as Krishna, essentially the spiritual quality. So that applies to us also, right? Maya cannot the Maya is inferior energy. The soul is superior energy, but it's only because of our size we have the tendency to be covered. But we can't be lost forever because it's superior energy. So as soon as you connect, we need Krishna's Adhina and Samrit potency to touch, because we don't have enough to reach him. But when it, by grace, by when he's pleased with us, by serving his devotees and following them, then it's his energy potency that comes out and joins ours, and that is called bhakti, and then the union of Krishna begins. But that we just have to keep sticking to the path and don't turn. Then that's it. You go back to God at the end of his life. It's a very simple process because Mahaprabhu has made it very simple. Otherwise, no one has Adhikar in Kali Yuga. So, knowing these things, like Bhishma is saying, gives great relief, right? Wow, don't have to worry about all that stuff, Don't have to become a pure devotee of Mahajana. I can just serve Krishna however I am. I can chant Hare Krishna and hear his name and take prasadam, associate with devotees. It's a very simple process. Prabhupada says, so simple it'll go over your head, you'll miss it. So, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.